This is June the 22nd, 1998, doing an oral history on Bart B. Reed on Boy Scouts in the late 40s. The interviewer is Frank T. Hilton. Bart, where were you in scouting?
The troop?
Yeah.
Troop 17, Breckenridge, Texas.
And when were you in scouts?
From 1944 to about 1951.
And what were you? You reached the rank of Eagle?
Yes, I did.
Who was your scoutmaster?
Candace King.
And tell me a little about him.
Well, Candace was a man who was the epitome of a scout leader and scoutmaster, because that's just doing anything to himself. And he always had a bottom line. If you asked him something or were going to do something, and he asked you if you'd really done your job, he'd always say, "Scout's honor," which means it had to be on your honor that such and so was true, whatever. And so that was the bottom line. He'd always say, "Scout's honor," and you knew.
What did he do?
Well, in Breckenridge, he owned his own company. He had a client store, and he also delivered butane when it was just getting started. Yes, it's a relatively new product.
You remember, were there any other troops in Breckenridge at that time?
There was a Troop 56, and I remember a man who was also very active down here from Breckenridge. That was Homer Tudor. Homer spent a lot of time down here as a swimming instructor, lifeguard, whatever, and he worked for head closers in Breckenridge for many, many years. And he was another one of those men that gave up his vacation time to be down here with his kids. So did Mr. King.
You were telling me earlier about the bull gang. That's B-U-L-L-G-A-N-G, right?
Right.
Tell me a little about the bull gang.
Well, that was considered to be really an honor to be asked to be on the bull gang, because then you knew you were really appreciated senior scout, and they trusted you to do things that they knew they could just ask you to do, and you'd go do them. And one of the things we did was to come down here a week before camp opened, and we'd get the camp ready. And there were only, I believe, seven of us in my particular group in 1949. And, you know, it's hard work, but we enjoyed it. And we got to know each other real well. And one of the fellows at Kennedy, his name is up there on that looking at the step, he went on, I believe, to become the director, national director of the Order of the Arrow.
Okay. Bert Kennedy, he just retired here about 6 months ago.
Well, he's on the flat.
His brother, did you know his brother?
Well, honestly, I can't say.
Can't say. If
I knew the season, which, you know, I knew a lot of kids down here. You know, I'd see them down here over the years, but I never really got to know all their names, but we knew each other about, you know.
What did the bull game do?
Well, we'd come up, open up the camp, we'd take everything off the windows and clean up the inside of the mess hall and get the kitchen ready, clean everything, so when the kids got here, it was ready to go. And then we did a certain amount of construction work. That's the reason that step was there, because that was some leftover cement we had, work that we were doing around the camp in general. But we did a lot of things.
Y'all were here for a week?
Whole week.
When y'all did some cement work, where was the cement work done, do you remember?
We did just various things around the mess hall, as I recall, because it was a relatively new building in 49, because, as you know, the old camp was destroyed in 46. First year here, I believe, in 47. And so there was still a lot of building going on. In fact, I believe we did some work like that around the dam. This whole thing was pretty primitive at that time, so we'd do a lot of clearing, and it was just a lot of kind of group work, you know, but it was fun, so we had our own swimming hours.
What do you remember about coming down here as a scout and going to camp?
Well, I remember it gave me my very first goal in life. That was to become an Eagle Scout. That was the very first goal I set for myself, because it's the time I was a kid, that was considered to be really something, a real accomplishment. And I had a cousin who was young, so he was out in America for a while back in the 40s. That was Wally Reed, was out in Odessa. But I had another cousin, Bobby Sykes from Ballinger, who was a new scout, so they motivated me to join scouts and work with me. But I didn't actually ever finish it. They gave me permission my last summer here to take swimming and last year with my bike to find currently, which
finished you up.
Well, I lived in this water down here for a whole week because you had to go swimming before you were alive. So.
When you first came, started coming to camp, did you go to the new Camp Billy Gibbons or the old Camp Billy Gibbons?
I went to the old one in 1944 and 45. It was the first camp down there. In fact, it was close enough to San Saito River. We used to take all day hikes over there. We'd look at the pictographs, and some of the guys, the older scouts, would do a little gill fishing for the catfish out in the river, do that kind of thing.
What can you tell me about the physical part of the camp? What did it look like and what was there?
Well, there's some similarities here. They had a mess hall that was very similar. I don't believe that one down there was as large. And they had a little trading post off to one side. And then, as I recall, they had a little first aid station. One thing I remember fondly is that the scouts were farther up the creek from the area that we say for swimming, was we built what we called the bathtub. And each scout would go up there and add a little to it with those rocks. And we built a really nice area to go up in.
Was it built in the river? Or
we built it right in the
edge of the river?
Sort of on the edge of the creek there. It was really nice to go in there and cool your heels. It was really a nice little spot. We called it the bathtub.
What are some of the funny things you remember about camp?
Oh my goodness. Well, I remember my very first summer, and the older scouts would send you out to get some, what do they call those, tent stretchers. I told you to get some tent stretchers, and so you'd go all over the camp and have some tent stretchers. Well, all the older scouts knew what was going on, so they'd send you to the next camp as soon as they had them down there. So, of course, they were non-existent. And then another thing I believe they sent us out for was some birds that didn't exist. and I believe a particular kind of, striped whitewash.
Striped whitewash.
They tell all the tenders, go get a bucket of striped whitewash.
Did y'all do any whitewashing at the other camp?
Yeah, they did. They whitewashed some of the rocks in the perimeter of the camps. I believe quite a few of them did that because they had what they call, I don't know if they do it today or not, but they used to have what they call the honor campers. And Mr. King was very strong on becoming 270 feet, an honor tree.
Did y'all win it?
Yeah, well, we always win.
How about the dining hall? Did they have any things they did in the dining hall, like a pig or anything of that
nature? We had a pig. That's right. I hadn't thought of that in all these years. I'm trying to think what the pig was all about. I just remember
it had to do with the messiest table in KP.
That's right. That's right. I'd forgotten all about that. But yeah, that's right. The pig was awarded to the really piggy table, and then they had to do the extra kitchen cleanup, I believe, some sort of thing.
Did y'all get it?
No.
Y'all avoided that,
we,
huh?
We never got that. No, we never got that.
What was it like when you first came here to the new Camp Billy Gibbons, as they call it?
Well, for me, I was always comparing this place to the old place, because you know how that goes. And even to this day, I still think about it. In fact, I'm supposed to cut up change tomorrow to look down on it. And I'm looking forward to that. I've been down that really sure. I've walked it.
I've never been there. So.
But it's only 3 miles down there.
But you don't go 3 miles down there to get to it.
I guess the thing I really remember the most about it is that we had some fairly large trees down in there. And a great place to swim. And then there was a hike that kind of went up over the ridge on the other side of the camp that went down to a little canyon that had this great wall of Indian paintings. And that's really where I got interested in pictographs. I still have to this very day. And then you could go on from there down to the San Saito River. And we used to see wild turkey down there back in the 40s. And that was the first one I ever saw.
Did you become a member of the Order of the Arrow?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell me a little about your experience with it?
Well, that was another one of the things I wanted to achieve, but it's not something that you can go out and do the same way with the Eagle. You had to be voted in. So I, of course, I wanted to be a member because I had my other heirs. I remember mostly when I was selected. I was so excited I hurried to pull my shirt off because I guess they still do the same thing with the shoulder. And so I guess I was so quick about it that they thought I was a little too quick. And they put me at the head of the chain they drug us through the brush with that night.
Were you blindfolded?
Yeah, we were blindfolded and we along the rope. And then they, of course, we had to sleep out alone that night. Various places they left us out. Couldn't talk. Yeah, I remember that very fondly. There's not a lot of people today that even know what the hell they are. But it's been a lot to me. It still does. Yeah.
What are some things that your troop did while you were in the troop? Did y'all go any place or
do
anything? We
went to Belmont Scout Ranch.
You remember what year?
Well, now, let me rephrase that and say that part of us went to Belmont along with some kids from East Bluff. And I believe there might have even been a couple from Cisco. And there was a Scoutmaster's camp right down here every year. He's a great hiker.
Neil Pepper.
Was that Neil Pepper?
Yeah.
Skinny guy, kind of gray head, and
yeah.
Just walk like the wind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he he drove the bus, I believe. And we went down there for a 10-day kind of a, what they call a cross-country trapping trek. And that was a great experience. I've got a photograph of that group at home.
Group.
There were some, I believe it was all senior scouts and several Eagle Scouts. And it was just a little group I believe Mr. Pepper probably put together. And it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
What are some other things that your troop did? If you remember any special camp out? Where did y'all go camping back in the day?
Well, before the dam was built, we used to go out on Herbert Creek. And that used to be one of the most beautiful areas in the world to go camping because there were a lot of big pecan trees down there, lots of squirrels, and it was just a great place to get away from the world. And of course, there was the Brazos River pretty close by. And Mr. King was very, very faithful about our meetings we met on a very regular basis in Woodbury's project.
Y'all had a scout hut, or where'd y'all meet?
We met at the First Christian Church.
Basement? Y'all had your own room or
yeah.
Shared it? Or?
Well, we had pretty much our own room. I'm sure it's still there.
How many were in the troop?
That number?
Roughly.
I'm going to say the photograph I had in 1944, I'm trying to count them, I can see them. There's probably about 18.
Were you the only one that got your eagle in that troop, or did others get it?
There were some that were older. Ahead of me that had their eagles. Had the name Jones had an eagle. They weren't very many. Several lives. We didn't have a lot of eagles. A lot of them did other things too. A lot of them were involved in all the sports and then of course a lot of them had work pets for the family too. But there were quite a few of them that had lives.
Did you ever serve on the camp staff at Camp Billy Gibbons?
Just in the capacity of the bull gang, and then when that was over with, my troop wasn't coming in the next week, and I didn't want to go home, so the troop from Brownwood adopted me, and I stayed with them, and then after they left, I finally got to stay with my troop. But during that week with Brownwood, I worked there in a sort of informal manner, really.
How old were you when you were on the bull gang?
Oh, well, let's see, I must have been about 17.
Was that the only year you served on the board?
Well, they kind of rotated that. I think that was, as I recall, it was the one time opportunity they let them do like the other kids involved in, which made sense.
You said swimming was your favorite sport at camp, or the one that was the hardest, or what?
Well, when I joined the Boy Scouts, I swam like a rock, and actually learned to swim primarily right over there in that spot, and I had everything finished except life saving and my swimming. Matter of fact, it was not actually the only thing I ever did it by. And I asked them if they would mind if I took a shot at doing both of them at the same time, but I knew it was now or never. So they were kind enough to allow me to do it, and I managed to do it. And surprised myself and gave me a lot of confidence. And it helped me. One thing I would like to say before I forget is that the things I learned in the Scouts made my life in the Marine Corps a lot easier. When I went in the Scouts, I was a good shot because I was marked in first class, which now that particular score at that time is now the highest score. And then when I went into boot camp, I already had that marching put down pretty well, and then the swimming, which you had to do, and there were other things, but a lot of the training I got in the Scouts got me along all through other things, as a park ranger later on.
Well, what did you do after you left Breckenridge? In the military? Or?
Well, I went to Texas A&M for a year. Well, I worked in the oil field, saved enough money to go to Texas A&M for a year, and then I got out of my hand and joined the Marine Corps and went over to Korea. And after I finished my tour duty of the Marine Corps, I got a job as a park ranger in Mesino, and I worked there for a number of years, and also went to the Grand Teton, Grand Canyon, Point Reyes, and the Channel Islands. Then I also became a high school teacher, and so my scouting has been with me all these years.
You do much backpacking or camping after you got?
Well, I was a backcountry ranger in the summer, so I never had to do the tourist thing. I was already out there being paid to do it. A lot of the work I did was the first summer they just asked me if I could ride a horse, and I said, yeah, I hadn't been wanting to film out of all places. And I was raised on a farm, and so anyway, they gave me a horse and a mule, and they said, you go to the South Country, and we'll see you back here in September. So I said, well, I went back to an old U.S. Cavalry cabin. It was my base camp on the way home, and then I did a lot of patrolling in the back country, South Country, the same. Alone. I think I was the last one who made it to do that. They don't know. I don't think they want it. But, my scouting, was still being used in that job as well. Being a park ranger, I worked for the Forest Service as a forest officer. And over the years, I've come across scout troops, all over the United States. And I remember seeing a group in the Tetons from Alabama about 10 years ago. And I said, well, I was an Eagle Scout. And Scout Master said, you still are.
Yeah. Okay. What were your impressions of Camp Billy Gibbons here when you first came down here?
This
camp here?
Mm-hmm.
Because you probably came in, 46? First time?
First time I came here must have been 47. I was there in 46. They tore it down in the winter in 46, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, the order there, I moved it over here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you mean recently when I came here?
Well, no, when you came as a kid, the first time you came to Camp Billy Gibbons, what were your impressions of Camp Billy Gibbons?
This camp?
Yes.
Well, I was always comparing it,
compare it, that's fine.
I was very fond of the old one because it was the first real, you might say, adventure for a little kid. I was only, 13, 14 years old, and just really good attached to the place. I loved going down the San Saba River. That was something you can't do here. And the setting just seemed to be
different,
bigger trees,
more open spots.
It's a lot better camping, I thought, because there was quite a few areas along the creek there that were really good camping spots. In fact, I'm going to copy that one. It's got much of green and olives in it, and you can kind of see. In fact, I believe it's got the rocks in it too, and all the tents are just so.
Were you there when they bulldozed it?
No, that was apparently that was done in Scottsville. I think it was done in the wintertime.
Did you see it after it was bulldozed?
No, in a band. I never understood that. Even to this day, I don't understand it. I never really understood what happened and why it happened and how anybody could do something. It upset me to no end. Yeah, it really did. I didn't see why, how anybody could do something like that. It, to me, it was like tearing up the church. You know, really. So even to this day, like I say, I've never fully understood what went on with that. It was not one of my fond memories, that's for sure.
What was this camp like when you first came here? I know they had built the dining hall, and they had built the dam for the swimming area, and they had put in a water system, or they had a jack pump that was pumped with a gasoline engine, I believe. They didn't have any electricity here at the time, nor a telephone.
Yeah, it was basic. It was real basic. And I always wondered, and I still do wonder, how they ever got that dam built, because at one point or another they had to divert the water.
I know how they built the dam. I'll tell you after we get through the interview.
Okay. You know, this was real. I mean, you really sort of made your way for a camping space here, you know. And I remember the Red Wasp. One day I threw my tent flap up and it wouldn't stay up, so I walked out to tie it back, and I got met with a whole nest of Red Wasps, and boy, I had a welt all over me that size of a quarter, and they were bad. I remember down here.
Who do you remember was on the camp staff then?
There was a Mr. Burns from Brownwood. He had one arm. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I never knew his first name.
Chuck Burns, maybe?
Burns. He had one arm. And he ran the mess hall there. Really nice man. Mr. Tesson did a lot of work there on staff. He taught the marksmanship and did about everything else down there too. Archery. He was just a little home tutor. I mean, he was here up in the waterfront here, so to speak. And see who else. Well, just off the top of my head,
they had many canoes or rowboats? Or?
We had some rowboats. Remember that? Because I fell back into one doing a. What do they call it?
Scuttling?
Justin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was doing that right over there and fell back into the boat. Let's see, it seemed like there were big old wooden beam boats. And we had one kind of a wood platform floating out there. It wasn't very fancy. We used to, I know one of the requirements was to swim the length of the dam, I believe it was four times for 150 feet of swimming.
Well, the dam was a lot deeper in the edges than it is today. Right now it's only deep in the center and it's pretty shallow at both ends.
Mm. Well, we swam a lot right along the edge of that dam, and there used to be a rail on the dam for the instructors and stand out there and watch us. I got pictures of that too. But there wasn't a whole lot. This looks pretty manicured now, but I remember it being pretty sparse, pretty rough.
How about the dining hall? What do you remember about the dining hall?
Well.
At both camps. Compare one camp to another.
It seemed to me like the one, in fact it was, the one at the old camp, as I recall, had a screen.
Just a screened-in building?
There was rock up about like so, and then yeah. As I recall, the screen was a lot more airy, more ventilation. That's the way I remember it. Being more open. A lot more open. Yeah. This one now seems a lot more closed in to me. But that's nothing real major except for that. But all I remember that was it.
Did y'all do rifle and archery at the old camp?
Well, you know, at that time, I was just a tenderfoot. I don't remember they were doing the marksmanship. They may have, I don't remember that. I remember there was a strong swimming program. They had a band down there and all. Nice pool, but I don't remember much of the other. They had a lot of contests, funny little contests. There was one we used to have called a fire building contest. I don't know if they still do that or not.
You want to describe it?
Well, we had a string to tie an old brown string between two stakes. You could enter it. One kid from each troop. So I don't know, and you had the flint and the steel, and then you had your the shavings, and then you, you know, you go through the process and get started. The first one, but strain one, and this kid, three down from me, and the fire was going really good, you know. And then all of a sudden, mine went up and strained. So I got one of these extra slides and a free coat. So I thought I'd really. But the main thing was the troop got the points.
Y'all get points for participating in events during the
week? Well, it's part of being an Army. Yeah. Yeah, they did, anything like that would add points. There were a lot of ways you could get points. That was one of the ways.
What kind of tents did y'all camp in?
Well, we had basically. They were real, real interesting. They looked pretty military. They didn't have the fall-down sides. They were just sort of like a tarp over a pole, but they were real sharp, very military.
Conoco type.
Well, they were just like a tarp
okay.
over a pole, and then they had the we had the ability to tighten them up. They looked really nice.
Y'all slept on folding cots.
Yeah, they were on the cots. They were very conical. And everything had to be just so. We had to have our gear just so. We made our own boxes. I don't know. I still could be in Breckenridge, but the kids used to carve their names in each other's boxes.
How did you, I mean, you'd make a box and all the other kids would carve their name in it?
Well, like they might come carve their initials in the top of the box. I remember one kid named his friend from Brownwood carved his. It was just kind of a memento thing. It's neat, you know. Took the time, did a nice job.
You still have the box?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, and that's what we kept our main gear in. Yeah.
How'd y'all come to camp? Cars or back end of a truck?
We came up. There was a guy by the name of Mr. Williams who, he and his dad ran a dairy out of Breckenridge. He had a big old flatbed truck. And we got in the back of that. They probably wouldn't even let us do that this day and age. So we got to that little flatbed truck. Some sideboards too. We threw all our gear in there and got in the back. And we came down here and back to the little truck.
How was the road then?
Bad.
A lot more. Not as good as it is today.
Well, even today I'm surprised it's as bad as it is, really. I was really surprised at that. I thought it'd be a lot better. But it was bad, especially for this truck. It's a pretty good sized truck. You know, it was all hay in it. The box at all. So we'd come down here and unload us and go back home. And the week come back and get us. So that was neat riding back the old truck.
What are some of the songs that y'all sang at camp? You remember any of them?
Well, it was Someone's in the Kitchen.
Madonna.
That was always a real big one. We used to sing that when I saw a lot. Some of the others I can pick them out of other songs, but just off the top of my head, I don't really remember. I remember that one though.
Y'all do a lot of singing in dining
hall? Oh yeah. A lot of singing in dining hall, especially in the evening, after supper time. And then we had colors, of course. And then we sang at the campfires. Funny, I can't remember those songs, but for a lot of years. But I remember everybody really got into that Someone's in the Kitchen. We had a lot of verses.
Yeah, it did.
And it went on and on.
Where did y'all have your campfire? At both camps. How about the old camp? Where was the campfire held? Was it down near the river or out in the woods? Or?
You know, I recall that being over on the ridge and down kind of a little canyon area. This is something that was. This one was back over behind them. That's all the story. That's similar to the story. And I went down into somehow, kind of a little hollow, and then there was also a place back in there where they used to shoot. And then the smoker ring was back.
That's where the LA ring is now.
Okay. Yeah, that was back in there where you had to walk
down the hill across the creek and then
up a little bit. Yeah. It's pretty, it's not like a really out there. But the upper end, I thought, was down in the little gully.
I tell you, best camp out in college. Then they had to leave the I've got some more movies of them shooting and using archery. And they shot it basically down in Plum Hollow, shooting up against the rock wall. Canyon wall is what they were doing.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a camp. They were down there. Go down there with us.
It was way down in the
That's where I really learned how to shoot.
afterwards.
Did y'all ever take any hikes or anything at camp?
Oh, yeah, that was the thing. They used to take all-day hikes. And that was the big thing. You come back in at supper, and after supper, scout leaders would go up and talk about the various things that they found, the little adventures, one thing or another. And it was real interesting, because I know that troop from Eastland, oh boy, they'd just take off. One time, they came back, one of the kids found a very unusual rock. They went on for about another hour hiking along, and the kid found another unusual rock, found out the two fit. And I don't know if they still have that in Eastland Troop or what, but it really was like a big puzzle, and the thing just fit perfect. And yet they were a long ways apart. But little things like that would always pop up. And of course, they talk about the wildlife.
Y'all going into the caves around here?
I remember we used to go to Honeycomb Cave, and that was a real tight crawl through. You had to be a small kid to do that one. And there was a place called Crystal Cave.
Yeah, they still have Crystal Cave, Spider Cave, and Staff Cave. And I don't know whether those were named after your time or not.
I don't remember that.
Did you go to those from the old camp or the new camp?
We went to Honeycomb in the old camp. Crystal Cave, it seems to me like that was kind of up in this direction, but I'm not positive about that.
They filled one in on the other, across the way, and that may have been it. They bulldozed it. There's a couple on the property that they have filled in. Risk management. There is one cave here. It's called Staff Cave. It's still open. Nobody knows where it is, but it's for a few people. Behind the staff area, the old staff area.
Any crystal in there or anything?
No. It's not good oxygen in there either.
Well, there used to be one down here that's some really good crystal in it.
That's why it's called Crystal Cave, apparently.
Yeah, must have been, but the Honeycomb Cave was something that was really dangerous, actually. I'm looking back on some rides. But crawl in there, and then you finally come to a little room where you kind of turn around and come look your way out, and it was... It was a tight squeeze, and it went back quite a ways. Maybe the scoutmasters didn't even know we were doing that one, but we did a lot of hiking, lots and lots of hiking. That was the big thing. We spent more time doing all-day hikes, like swimming, I seem like marksmanship, and just about anything else I can remember. But I remember hiking was real, real big, and all the leaders here were very good hikers. They were amazing. Some of them were kind of legendary. But I've got some probably wild pigeons. You got wild pigeons down here?
I don't know what all they got down here.
Of course, we used to scare up a lot of beautiful white deer.
Y'all have any pigs in camp, little pigs, or big pigs that would get into things?
I don't remember that. But I do remember the wild turkeys gliding clear across the same side of the river. They'd be up there on a cliff, on a tree, and they'd just drop out of it, and they were the most beautiful. I was just shocked the turkeys would fly like that, and they'd just glide clear across that canyon. And the first wild turkeys I've ever seen, and they're beautiful. That canyon down there, I don't know if they're down there or not, but that was really awful for us to go. That to me was like my real big outdoor adventure, the beginning of.
You got in the OA down at the old camp or here at the new camp? Here at the new
1949,
camp.
1949, yeah. Yeah, sure. It might have been 48.
They hadn't built Weinman Lodge up there?
No. We didn't have a lot of buildings.
Just had the dining hall and the harbor was the trading post.
Well, we didn't have a porch in the mess hall, and we also had our first aid room out there in the mess hall, and then the
office and
trading post was right in the mess hall. And
the door to it's still there, and the outside door.
But there wasn't a lot here. But we had a good time. Real good time.
I don't think kids expected as much then as they did.
Oh gosh, I don't know. To me, it was part of the experience. You know, I came out here knowing I was going to be camping, so everything else is just a plus.
But kids were used to outdoors more. Didn't have air conditioning, vehicles, so the heat didn't eat you up.
No, we never even really thought about that. I mean, we hiked a lot too. You know? We were right out there. And, it's a really strenuous hike.
Of all the things you did in scouting, what do you remember being the fondest of that?
Well, I think the family life association is like coming to a family reunion each year. You see your friends, even though they weren't that far away as I know now, but in those days, Brownwood and some of these other areas seemed like a long, long ways off, and then I'd see my friends from these other troops.
You hadn't seen all year?
Yeah, and it was like a family reunion. You know? And then, you know, everybody's growing up and doing different things.
Did y'all ever have any camperies or other activities you went to as a troop besides summer camp? That scout-a-ramas or?
That wasn't, I don't recall that being a real big thing at that time.
Just summer camp was all that y'all did.
Summer camp, well, and then later Philmont. You said camperie, I do remember it was a camperie.
Where several troops got together.
Yeah, he was going somewhere back there. I can't remember his name that way. But I remember Philmont was something that we all wanted to do real bad. And the memories I have of this place, and I've got a lot of the photographs I used to carry, it was dual-flex Kodak. You could look around and put it in a canteen cover and carry it. I've got some pretty good pictures of those days. And
you have any of the dining hall for the porch was put on it?
I might.
I've not seen any.
But that porch is new to me. It wasn't here all the
time. There's some dates on it when it was built. On OA built it. Took them 3 years. They built a segment at a time.
Well, the porch was a big surprise to me. See, I was here 47, 48, 49, 50, and there was no porch. And it was just, at all, just deferential. Wasn't any of that. No, not at all.
Could you see the waterfront from the dining hall? Or was it all blocked, you remember?
I don't remember being able to see it, no. No, I don't. I remember it was harder to get down here, but it's easier now. It's a lot easier to get down here now than it was then, but it was brushier, I thought.
It probably was.
You know.
But they hadn't cleared out anything then.
But this is more park-like right now.